The Republic Broadcasting Network.
It's good to be back. It's the 17th day of September 2017, and you can go to my website dedicated to the show, and it is the hub, the portal, where you can join me live at blacklistedradio.com. Of course, I'm the senior editor of blacklistednews.com. Most of the news and items that we talk about here on the show, other than the ones that you steer the conversation towards, you can find at blacklistednews.com. And some of the stories that you guys, of course, want to talk about are on blacklistednews.com. And, of course, I have read most of the stories, the majority. I am one of the editors. There are several others. But I'm pretty familiar with the content there. So, wow. What a week. What a freaking week. And I think a lot of people are just kind of numb to this month, September, what it's been. We had the London tube station attack. We had a school mass shooting. Of course, Irma. The latest and greatest are there are two more hurricanes that are possibly posing risks to the East Coast. Jose is in there, and watch out for that guy. But anyway, through all of that, Hurricane Irma, of course, ripping through the western side of Florida, not as bad as projected, not colossally bad, but if you're in Barbuda, there's no people there. The Dominican Republic, of course, Cuba hit very, very hard. The rebuilding process, not just from Irma, but from Harvey, will take years to fulfill. Many businesses, many people will not recover from these hurricanes. Pretty sad stuff. Tragedy, crisis, that has become the norm, and I'm noticing more and more people are kind of numb to this constant cycle of you know, I guess, in-your-face coverage of the news. It's probably depressing a lot of you, and I think a lot of people just kind of hop off the reservation when it comes to news. I think that we, you know, see that a lot here with the podcast. The cyclical nature. People come to the show, go away from the show, get tired of talking about some of these topics, and not probably because of the show, but they're just inundated with negative media. And so Blacklisted News, of course, you know, we do highlight a lot of the problems that we have here on planet Earth. So with that said, you can join me in the chat room. You can call into the show, 800-313-9443. You know, this week, a lot of coverage. I'll talk about the coverage, the media narrative of this ESPN host that tweeted out that Donald Trump is a white supremacist. You know, in all the, I guess, opinions, the huge amount of reverberation through social media about this comment. And I think it's tasteless, really. You know, calling people white supremacist is, I mean, to really use that term cavalierly, casually, is a shame. I mean, it's probably the equivalent, I think, at least for white people, to, you know, dropping an N-bomb towards an African American, somewhere in that realm. And it's, you know, one of these cheesy shots that people use to basically discredit, diminish, and you know, to put down somebody to the lowest level, to make them, you know, not even worthy of having a conversation with. I mean, if somebody's a white supremacist, obviously they believe in the supremacy of the white race, that it's better than other races. Now, you know, when it comes to racism itself, you know, I talk about it a lot, and, you know, I've read a lot of, there's so much commentary about race. One of the things that I find is that more and more people figure out a way to try to divide themselves, and there's nothing wrong with, you know, cultural identity, trying to preserve that. Even plenty of people do it. I mean, if you've listened to Jewish mothers in your life, I mean, one of the things that they're very pro on, at least a lot of them, is marrying within the tribe. Now, you could say that's racist. I mean, I think it is. If you don't believe that, you know, you would want to mix your blood with other, you know, ne'er-do-wells, other ethnic groups, then you believe that there's – maybe not that you're better than those people, but that they're not worth breeding with, that your people are better to breed with than those. So is that a type of racism? Sure. There's so much racism that's out there. Most people have, I think, prejudices. Most people believe – in certain stereotypes, and then are shocked when, you know, you meet a really intelligent, white-sounding black guy. Just, whoa, can't believe this guy. Ben Carson throws people for a loop. This guy's a neuroscientist. I mean, and I think that that's just, you know, kind of silly. In the 21st century, where we're still debating about who's better than others, I think most people inherently believe that they're better than other people. They're more deserving. And that's not just, you know, that's not racism. That's just, you know, selective choosing of who should benefit. Most people, you know, it's qui bono, you know, me, mono. That's what people are interested in. And so beyond all of that, I think that people get lost in the weeds. And a lot of – I mean, you know, you see all the cultural appropriation. You know, if somebody – if a white guy has dreadlocks, people get really upset about it. I mean, I think that, you know, number one, I wouldn't grow dreadlocks. Number two, I'm not a big fan. And number three, I can't – I don't have the hair to – I could grow some maybe on my back. I don't know. But, you know, that somehow that this is insulting and that you're trying to steal culture. I mean – you could look at it also as that you are very fond of that culture, and that's why you mimic it. I mean, if you have a dream catcher in your window at your home, maybe in your kitchen, it doesn't mean that you're trying to steal the Native Americans' culture from them. So people have just a lot of anger, a lot of it directed at Donald Trump himself. Now, if you didn't hear the Charlie Rose Steve Bannon interview that was on PBS this week, I highly encourage you to check it out. Steve Bannon looks pretty good in this. He doesn't sound like this crazy anti-Semite. Some of the things that have been launched at him, actually, he goes on and on and on about his pro-Zionist stance. And speaking at the Zionist convention, he talks about how I think it was Andrew Horowitz who wrote the article that you heard media talk over and over again about that was published on Breitbart. The Renegade Jew, and it was referencing Bill Kristol not being Jewy enough, not being 100% behind the State of Israel and the religious and political ideology of Zionism. And hey, everybody is self-interested, and it doesn't shock me that the Israelis, the Jewish people, as they like to call themselves, because if I was Jewish, I'm not. I don't know if I would want the government that's in Israel, the IDF, and all of those other machinations of it, being this religious state. You know, it's kind of like if you're a Christian, do you really think that even if you're Catholic, that you know the papal facilities are the gateway to heaven, and you know you have to go through the Pope to get to God? There's lots of people that put themselves in the very advantageous business of echoing your prayers to Jesus or to Allah or to whoever it may be, God himself, old school Hebrew God, whatever it is. So you have a lot of these middlemen, preachers, ministers, rabbis, cardinals, bishops, ministers. I say ministers? Yeah. So a lot of people that are in the way of that. And so you have these groups. Just saw a report on all of the Congress critters that get the all-expense-paid trip to Israel so they can go and touch the Wailing Wall and all the stuff that they do there. So when people talk about Donald Trump being anti-Jewish, I just think that it's silly, and it shows you just how absent from logic and reason the whole debate has become. And quite honestly, how useless the mainstream media is in many cases. Now, there's good reporting. There's interesting stuff happening out there, something that you're not going to hear a lot of. And I don't know. I mean, you know, what's my take on the tweets, Donald Trump's tweets? I think they're juvenile. I think a lot of them, you know, the golf ball hitting Hillary is the latest outrage that Trump would retweet this. And, of course, it's so hilarious because anybody that Trump retweets, I just have to mention this. I'm sorry for all of you that are Trumped out or tweeted out. But they go into the political background and trying to dox the person that Donald Trump retweeted. You know, oh my God, he's a Holocaust denier, Jew-hating, anti-black racist bastard that Donald Trump retweeted. You know, and you think about this. I mean, if I thought about running a background check on every person who puts out content that I find funny, interesting, or just, you know, needing to put somebody on blast, doing that and trying to be held accountable for that, you know, on my Twitter account, you know, I mean, how much of the FBI's resources do you really want going towards trying to figure out if it's the right thing to retweet, the right cartoon, what's the message to it? Of course, the big message, you know, this week was that Hillary can't get over it. Hillary is still in denial, not just the river, but this place that she lives in. It's in a van under a bridge, and it's called Denial. She had her new book come out where she tries to explain what happened. She does a little review of Orwell's 1984. Lambasted for it, you know. Basically, her take on Orwell's 1984 is that people didn't put enough trust into the government, and that, you know, if you fall off and let those Republicans lead you to, you know, this dystopic world that you know, they're gonna start, you know, the Choco rations and dosing everybody with Soma, although that's kind of already happening, right, in a lot of regards, but metaphorically anyway. So Donald Trump's tweets and Hillary Clinton's book. Yes, her book had an overwhelming negative review on Amazon. Amazon had no problem, and actually ZeroHedge.com did a timeline of the correction of the reviews of her book on Amazon.com, and they defended their intervention, saying that people were politically motivated to say that her book sucked, and that's why, you know, now it has a, you know, 5-star gold-plated review, and only things that are, at least for the most part, the majority of things that people say about the book have to be thoughtful. And now Amazon has, you know, somebody probably dedicated to being the thought police, trying to protect Hillary Clinton and her so-called legacy. Now, I don't really care. She lost. You can talk about it all day long. You can ponder, postulate on why she lost, why Donald Trump won. I come to, you know, a pretty easy conclusion. The people that are at her base are mostly communists and leftists true leftists, that they're not going to be thrilled with Hillary Clinton because her appeasement politics, the lack of what they would consider, you know, neo-progressivism, which is, you know, a meal ticket for all, you know, single-payer tax or single-payer health care, all of those things that people in her own base wanted. So it was very hard for her own base to get behind her. Many women want to see the first female president, and most of them decided that Hillary Clinton probably shouldn't be the representation, shouldn't be the first lady. And a lot of people just didn't know what to do with Bill Clinton. You know, he's going to be the first woman. That's confusing. So we had to get rid of them. You know, women kind of got the short end of the stick. First, you had a VP run in Sarah Palin, which I'm pretty unimpressed with, and Hillary Clinton, criminal extraordinaire. I mean, had no economic message for the people that actually vote, that want jobs. They're not just looking for an uptick in welfare payments. So yeah, there's probably 1,000 reasons. I'd say Comey's letter probably had a little bit to do with it. People are like, oh, just a reminder. Not that people thought any less or more of her because of the emails, or that they were, you know, anything more than an indictment on business as usual, you know, in Hillary's political world, but that, you know, she was already a criminal. I mean, and I would say less than, you know, 0.1% of the people out there decided not to because she killed Vince Foster. I don't know. But we could write a book about all the reasons that Hillary is not the president and why somehow we ended up with this misogynist, vagina-grabbing, anti-Semite, white supremacist. He likes to, you know, eat black babies whenever served on the menu at Mar-a-Lago, you know, that whole thing. That's why we're starting to, I really truly believe, transcend into a post-truth world, because people don't care what the truth is. They're just behind a wall, an echo chamber where they find self-serving facts. I mean, you saw it in the Comey testimony. Actually, there was a girl on RT that did a great report. And for people, you know, that wanted to hear that, you know, Donald Trump had forced Comey, had, you know, done something illegal by making him, you know, interfering in the Russia probe and the fact finding missions of the FBI. They heard that, and the people that thought that he was absolved of those allegations and crimes, they heard that, you know, going back and forth. And, you know, it's all about the interpretation of what you hear. So a lot of people are being driven crazy by the quest to erase history. That has been a big push. Monuments all over the country to Confederate soldiers, people in the South, and people that, you know, in their day and age owned slaves, getting rid of these people from history, or at least from public view, in some, you know, desperate attempt to fix what is wrong. And that's why I think it's kind of valiant. I understand why people feel this way, because they want to fix something. You know, everybody can tell that something's wrong, you know, but you know, identifying that, and then even after you identify, you know, the things that are wrong, even in our own lives, you know, doing something about it's a whole another thing. So, you know, there's a lot of people that believe that if you got rid of these statues, that somehow that is going to change public perception and make people less racist or more inclusive, and, you know, somehow it's going to maybe ultimately benefit other races in this country, which is, you know, I think categorically not true. All it does is make people more upset about an issue that was non-issue. Statues aren't, or whatever it may be, aren't, they're not doing anything to people, period. In those thoughtful reminders. I mean, even if you are a racist person, you don't like other ethnicities, when you see Robert E. Lee, I mean, what is that? Does that make you commit a hate crime? If you're in a powerful position, does that make you say, you know what, I'm going to deny one more qualified black person this job because I look at that memorial every day and it makes me think about putting my boot on the back of somebody's neck? No, it's not really happening. It's not happening in this country, and it's not a crisis. It's not something that really matters a whole hell of beans, to be quite honest, to anyone, because, you know, it's not going to change the way you put on your pants in the morning. It's not going to change the price of your health care. It's not going to change, you know, how much money you are paying in gasoline this week. But what it will do is it gets people distracted, upset, and you get these moral crusaders that have found so much anger and so much purpose in this mission to correct history. There's a lot of better ways to do that, and that's to learn from it, progress in a positive way, and somehow not repeat the failures of the past. All right, guys, quick break. We'll be back on the other side. Your calls are welcome. 800-313-9443. It's the one and only Blacklisted Radio.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Do you or someone you know suffer from chest pain, blood pressure, cholesterol, or irregular heartbeat? Are you looking for a more natural solution to overcome these health challenges? You hear the ads all the time. If this stuff's so good, why doesn't my doctor prescribe it? That's easy. Doctors are not trained in natural medicine. Extendivite Heart Tonic does want you to be as healthy as you can be, and it really works. Take Extendivite for 6 months and your doctor will say, I don't know what you're doing, but don't stop. It's working for you. Get the dependability of Extendivite. Just see how you feel in 6 months. A 2 month supply of either capsules or liquid is only $69.95 plus shipping and handling. Call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
I know I have fallen into the gutter of mindless political discussion, trying to fix people, I guess, or at least commentate on some of the things that I think are misdirections with, this cry, because people find that there's something wrong in this need to, you know, do something. You know, you have the Occupy movement, and the Occupy movement has, morphed into so many other things. But, you know, it was something that, you know, you saw that people, especially politically aware, politically awake people, college students, were feeling that things were not just any longer, that these bankers had escaped and had taken with them the financial futures of generations to come. And people wanted to do something about it. And by and large, I mean, not to judge movements, because quite honestly, a leaderless movement where you have lots and lots of people that are not unified in any sort of way, but all, collectively understand that they want to be part of something. When you have that, you have that cyclically through political cycles in this country, in every country. When people don't have a war, this is what politicians think. A lot of war planners, a lot of economists, that when you don't have some kind of central focus for the majority of people, LBJ spoke a lot about this during the civil rights movement and race riots in the late 1960s. But when you don't have some kind of unifying, polarizing event, something like a 9/11, something that draws everyone in to become something larger than themselves, then you start getting all these people with independent ideas and, people that start challenging the state, start questioning why is this? You know, Francis Scott Key, he's getting a lot of heat because of the third portion of the Star Spangled Banner that people don't really know. Yeah, it's about recapturing some slaves and going after those Canadian British folks that were, using the Native American Indians. And, of course, that was relevant at the time. That was a direct threat, at least as Francis Scott Key, as he saw it, and those people that were vying for independence from Britain. Of course, it's all about perspective. If you're British, you probably thought that there was a lot of non-appreciative ne'er-do-wells that didn't want to pay their taxes, and that's what the Boston Tea Party was all about. So, with that said, let's go to the phone line. Let's talk to some people out there. My mic's too hot? I figured. We're doing some audio engineering during the break, and, we get the message out. Every once in a while, we have to tweak the dials. So, all right. Good enough. Let's go to Mike in Kentucky. Mike, welcome to Blacklisted Radio. What's up, man?
One of the reasons that stereotypes exist is oftentimes there's something to them.
Sure.
And 120 years or something close to that, academics and even the military, which has a pretty good interest in making sure they get the right people in the right jobs, have looked at it. And there's even been scientists that have looked at cultural context, as well as people taken out of their culture by being adopted. And there is a difference between the races. Asians typically have certain skills that give them an IQ coming out like 120 to 125. A lot of the Jewish folks have a high IQ. And the standard is set at 100 here in America was for the average white people. So when you look at Hispanic, Mexican, and blacks, they typically are around 85 on average. Now, obviously, you got somebody like the doctor you mentioned, the neurologist, and maybe if he's got some Asian or whatever in his background. I'm sure if he would make public his family tree, you might find that. But they have shown.
Yeah. Well, and beyond that, I did want to add one thing, Mike. I think that when you look at culturally, you look at food. You know, I look at the types of food that people live off of in South America, and it's pretty nutrient deprived. And so I think when you look at cultures, races, you also have to look at food. There's a lot of dynamics there because if you're eating non-nutritious food.
The scientists have tried to look at that and eliminate all that, and you get cross-cultural adoptions, and they've looked at that. Or non-genetic parents take on somebody out of context, out of culture, and they feed them, a typical American diet or American diet that a typical white child would get, and on average their IQ is still maybe 2 to 3 points higher than it would be if it was in Haiti or Africa or Mexico or China. There's just not that much difference by applying nutrition and culture. What there is a difference.
Environmental contamination. If you're taking people from Somalia, that have high levels of lithium, other things in their water. I think that there's just so many varying factors. And I appreciate the call, Mike. And it's not that I don't think that there's something to that, that, different races have somehow, you know, because of, like you said, the types of jobs the Japanese may have, the type of work that they do, the type of things that they have, they might have very high IQs compared to an average Welshie like myself. So there might be something to it. But, you know, there's always people that break out of that mold. Now, you can make generalizations. I do it all the time. You know, I see a truck and it, you know, it's dropped down to the ground and, you know, it's, you know, early models, 19 Chevy. And there's a cement mixer in the back of the truck. First thing I think, and you can call it racist, prejudice, whatever, is that this dude's a Tejano. This guy is, you know, flooring, you know, or doing slab work or making porches, something like that. I mean, you make a lot of assumptions just based on something that you look at, you know, just another car that's driving on the highway. And my wife and I, and she is Hispanic, we joke about it. And I said, yep, that's definitely a Mohawk. And we pull up and, you know, you see a black guy. Or you see a white guy driving this truck. You know, maybe he bought it for a good price. You know, I don't know. But you're like, ha, my racism didn't work today. My prejudices were thrown off. I had made this assumption based on a lot of things that absolutely make sense to me. But you get thrown for the loop. And anyway, I mean, when you get into generalizing people or groups or races, there's nothing – I mean, we all do it. It's easy to do because you can make these very clear associations. Okay, these guys wear this kind of clothing. Okay, these guys do this. This guy, I mean, I see it in the trades. I work in the trades field. And for whatever reason, all of the air ducting and mechanical contractors that we see here are Vietnamese. Now, I don't know what the Vietnamese have on it, why they're so interested in the mechanical engineering. It's not that they're engineering anything. It's just these tradespeople that put a lot of you know, metal ducting for big HVAC systems. But you see that, and you see culturally people that are in certain, you know, job types and things like that. So, I mean, there's something to be said about it, but don't buy totally in, because you'll always find something that'll throw you off. And even if it's all true, what do you do with it? All right, let's go to Fred in PA. Fred, welcome to Blacklist Radio.
Yeah, I'm hearing what you say, but I do have a bit of a complaint in that, first of all, I know you said this has been, you know, a very big week, a very disturbing week as far as the news. And then you mentioned the fact that there seems to be a need to do something. Like, people feel a restlessness, or there's a turning point because of the news that they can't seem to affect. But the complaint I have is, you may be bringing up events and things that you hear, but I haven't heard a single piece of blacklisted news, of repressed news, that you have decided to tell us. Where's your blacklisted news?
You know what? You are right, and I appreciate the call. I should get to some blacklisted news. Sometimes I like social commentary. Sometimes I have, you know, some gears to grind, some things that are, you know, just thoughts. So I like to get those out. That's kind of the podcast format. Deal with a lot of news on the website every day. You want some blacklisted news? Here's an interesting take. UK to supply Qatar with Eurofighter jets in billion-dollar arms deal. Now, just a few months ago, Qatar was the bad guy. Donald Trump, Rex Tillerson, even though they were calling for calm, really indicted Qatar because of their ties to the Muslim Brotherhood, to their ties and shenanigans with Al-Qaeda. Al-Qaeda actually has an embassy inside of Qatar. And so there's a lot of big talk about terrorist financiers, of course, on the eve of 9/11. We talked about that extensively last week. You hear this power play, especially by the Sauds. And to see this just happening a month later really does reveal how most of these tragedies, these crises that are happening, end up being a boon for military-industrial complex weapons makers. And it really does show you the side of history that many of these governments are on. Of course, with Britain, Tony Blair, his close ties, military weapon cells that went to Muammar Gaddafi didn't get a lot of scrutiny after he was assassinated and sodomized, by the way. The British government and defense giant BAE Systems have agreed to a major new deal to supply Qatar with Eurofighter Typhoon jets despite fears of regional instability. So obviously, you know, they are arming these enemies of Saudi Arabia. So interestingly enough, a lot of talk this week about the Saudi meetings, consulate meetings with the Israeli ambassador. And, you know, this side hustle. I mean, one of the things that if you read Blacklisted News or, you know, you're aware, ISIS and all the variances of that, Daesh, ISIS and the Levant, these groups that have been occupying Iraq, and have been kind of the battleground. I mean, that's something that's pretty blacklisted when you look at the atrocious killing of Iraqi civilians over the last 2 years in this wink-wink eradication of ISIS. It's pretty appalling. And the U.S. and the United Nations have been turning a blind eye to horrible war crimes. Lots of reporting on that, not getting on your evening news. But this does show you that all of this is a kind of a farce. Now, where the Saudis may lie on this is that, well, by pressuring Qatar, by creating this instability, that it's a boon for weapons manufacturers and creating that security once again. So where are the Brits? Are they on the side of the Saudi Arabians? You would think not. But by selling them weapons, it only further justifies, just like it did with Gaddafi, the need to eradicate and to intervene into Qatar. You know, it's kind of it's always interesting when you see these deals. And that's one of the things, I guess, this is kind of foreshadowing a potential conflict. Now, the BAE, you know, they don't care. They will sell you weapons. But what will they do with it? Interesting commentary from Israel's area of foreign interest. Israel's foreign agents don't register. Why should Russia's? One of the things we've heard a lot about is that these Russian meetings, Michael Flynn talking before RT and other groups. One of the things the government's really pushing to do is to get RT, Russia Today, to register as a Russian foreign agent, because for some reason, the American people are so stupid that they cannot figure out that Russia Today is Russian media, that you don't realize they have a Russian stint, that they are pro-FSB, anti-New World Order, anti-U.S. domination. And so, you know, it brings up the hypocrisy of Israel's nuclear arsenal. No weapons inspectors go there. Everybody wants to go to Iran. Iran's the biggest threat to the Middle East, all of these things that are ostensibly true. So there's that. We'll get to more. We got about 22 minutes to go. We got a call from Rob in Minnesota. Let's go to him. Rob, welcome to Blacklist Radio.
Hey, Doug, how are you doing?
Good enough. How are you?
I'm good. Okay, I got two subjects, and I'll give you a choice here on either one if you want to talk about. One is that hurricane that, you know, all the models showed, you know, looking like a bowling ball going straight down the middle of a bowling alley for Florida, but for some reason it took a sharp left and just did the same thing to Cuba. And yet nothing in the news covers anything about the hurricane going across Cuba. I don't know if you have any comments on that. And the other one is, you know, Venezuela, you know, made an announcement that they're not going to sell their oil on dollars anymore, you know, that they're going to come up with something different. And we know that both – that didn't end well for Iraq and Libya when they made that choice. So go ahead, fire away at either one.
Well, the bowling ball, I mean, you know, interestingly enough, there's some commentary about the cloud seeding and weather control, and that brings up a whole other issue using these huge lasers. They're like, you know, 50 megawatt lasers that they're actually trying to shoot. So one of the things that's interesting to me is that, absent from all of the commentary, is that there is an effort to steer, and I don't know how effectively. I think a lot of people with a conspiratorial tint to them would think that the U.S. government would want to steer the hurricanes towards, you know, the people so that they can, you know, institute martial law, and, you know, it's a great distraction, it's economic boon, and, you know, it gets things like, you know, the $20 trillion deficit going once again. You know, you can always hold the government and Congress people hostage with, you know, we need to get the relief funds out there. Now, the second thing that you talked about was, and it's in my stack here, Venezuela trying to pull themselves out of this U.S. dollar, petrodollar monopoly. Now, this is something that China is doing as well. China is moving back to a gold-backed, currency-backed basket, and that is what Venezuela would like to do as well. Now, it's not that I think that it's going to really put that much pressure on the U.S. dollar. We do see the tide turning when it comes to U.S. sanctions, and that even brings Bitcoin virtual currencies into the discussion when you start looking at ways of absolving yourself from using the U.S. dollar and still remaining relevant in the world economy. So many places like Venezuela are completely dependent on imports. You know, there's a lot of great documentaries about the gold mining push and the companies, especially U.S. and British Canadian companies that are mining in places like Venezuela throughout the, you know, South Americas. So the U.S. has been in a dirty covert war with Venezuela for quite some time. I mean, the admitted attempted assassination attempts of Hugo Chavez, like him, love him, hate him, you know, that was admitted. The CIA had tried to infiltrate and had tried to, you know, steer Venezuelan elections. So, you know, I'm not a big socialist president, because it's really great when you have that nice altruistic dictator there, that great socialist president. But, you know, then what's his scummy daughter do? You know, she stole, I think it was $4 billion from the national economy there. You know, and then you get Maduro, who's a bus driver, and he's got an agenda. You've got the U.S. playing dirty games there. So anything that Maduro does, they're only making it worse. I mean, they're creating this, you know, tension. It's kind of a Gladio 2.0 tension that's already there. I mean, the U.S. just likes to, you know, needle people. Let's get the National Endowment for Democracy. Let's get Freedom House. Let's get George Soros down there, and we'll get some protesters shot, and then things will get really bad. So Maduro's dealing with that, and he's dealing with economics. When you want to look at a failed state, Venezuela is a fine example, because they are the number one exporting oil producer that supplies the U.S., or at least they were. You know, those might be five-year-old numbers, and maybe Mexico, now that they're about to nationalize their oil fields, and Russia being a big player, you know, maybe that's changed a little. But they've got plenty. They're like Saudi Arabia. They have the same amount of financial means. It's great to have black gold. You got to have food. You got to have imports. One of the problems with, you know, the controlling economy and socialization is that, you know, you try to start forcing some people to be farmers, and then they may go well or not go well. You try to incentivize them to be farmers so that you're not so, you know, dependent on imports, things like that. And you have to really balance that system to keep everybody happy and everybody employed. You know, it's a nice idea, but people lose choice, and then you have people in power that are making decisions rather than, you know, the common sense that the market dictates. You know, if you build an Italian restaurant out in the middle of nowhere, it's going to fail unless the government subsidizes it. Those kind of things. So you have kind of a misallocation. So that's what I see playing out in Venezuela. Dirty tricks by the U.S. are just making things worse, and they're going to go to what the Bank of International Settlements, the World Bank, is moving towards, and that is what they perceive as security, and that is the special drawing right, the SDR, which is a basket of currencies. They have the yuan, yen, dollars, probably some of the lira, some other things, gold. At some point, they may even have cryptocurrencies. So now governments are trying to crack down. I mean, we saw Bitcoin shoot way down this week because China is trying to outlaw Bitcoin because it is a direct competition to the Chinese government in their controlled economy, their fake numbers and their fake, just like our, you know, most of the U.S. numbers. They're trying to find a way to manage and control that, and the only way that the Ponzi scheme works is that you force everybody to get in. So it's an interesting switch. You're going to see a lot more of it. James Rickards, who, you know, he's made his rounds. He's one of those guys that kind of became – he's a fast-talking, slick salesman, but he's got some interesting things, and he talks about the New World Order, the dollar hegemony, crisis in the economy, and why you need to buy gold, and preferably probably from him. So he gets – you know, he's like Jim Rogers, a lot of like financial forecasters, and you know, he brought out I think this really good piece that described how – the government, the U.S. government primarily, Western governments plan on dealing with Bitcoin and dealing with that with regulations and using that to where, yeah, you can use Bitcoin, but every bit of that will have to be transparent to the U.S. government, and that this is the alternative soft launch into a cashless system. And I think that he's right in that, that people are excited about it. Is you hear the people that talk about Bitcoin, you know, they say, well, the great thing is now you're getting people that are involved in banking, but they're outside of traditional banking. You have jobs being created outside in these new spaces that utilize Bitcoin. Las Vegas moving to have a first digital cashless system primarily for the sale of recreational marijuana because U.S. banks – can't take your pot money. So you're starting to see a lot of this. And this is going to be a huge transformation, I think, across the world in how governments create money or create debt in that realm, which makes it, you know, all that more interesting when you see what, you know, what Maduro, the president of Venezuela, is doing. Of course, you have Russia teetering with that idea as well. So it's an interesting fad, de-dollarization. And there's a lot of people that think, well, it wouldn't be bad for the U.S. dollar, quite honestly. I know a lot of people say, well, what if those dollars come back? But, you know, having to be the world's reserve currency, having your money, you know, be the basis for all geopolitical affairs can be good. It's been okay for us, but it's not to say the euro or the franc or other, you know, currencies that are out there that are not world traveled, that are not the world's dollar, you know, that they respond well. So whether or not it's a good thing to be the world's reserve currency or not is debatable, and at some point we'll be beyond that. There you go. Pentagon busted working with organized crime to funnel billions in weapons to terrorists. This is pretty blacklisted news, if you will. Not a lot of a lot of coverage at all. There's a Balkan investigative reporting network that brought together this crime and corruption reporting project. Actually, they're working with Europol. And once again, we're seeing not only through Ukraine, but through many of these private CIA corporations that and they put together a map and an infographic, so that just makes it all the easier to kind of wrap your mind around. I guess, you know, the one thing that should not shock most of you is that the CIA is funneling weapons. There was a big story 2 weeks ago we didn't give a lot of coverage to here that and we probably should have, about the ATF and this big slush fund that they had that had absolutely no accountability, that they were using to funnel weapons and guns to preferred CIA-friendly cartels like the Sinaloa cartel in Mexico. So most of us remember Fast and Furious. A lot of people talked about it, and shame on Eric Holder. He's a bad attorney general. And, you know, there's plenty of people that, you know, took some punches on the chin, but nobody went to jail over Fast and Furious. But I think, you know, that's just one little microcosm of this larger covert operation that's happening here. So the CIA weapons program, the public one that we know was publicly shipping military armament to Syria, was supposedly shut down by Trump. That feels good, doesn't it? If you believe that the CIA is not still waging a dirty war against Assad, and that he is in the clear, even with Donald Trump as president. Well, I don't know what to tell you. You are an optimist. Guys, we'll be back on this just with a few moments right here on Blacklisted Radio. Stay tuned.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you one of them from Amazon.com. I was diagnosed with high blood pressure. I was a little bit alarmed, as I have always been in good health. I started this regime as soon as it arrived, and I have noted that the heaviness in my chest is gone and the pressure headaches I have been having are lessened. I am hoping to see greater results as time progresses, as I am an avid non-user of pharmaceuticals and avoid them at all cost if possible. This was, I think, a great alternative to heart medication. Not that I am a doctor, and for some, there is no choice, but again, for someone like me, I am so far pleased with the results. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
It's time for you to have your own custom smartphone app for your business and pay way less than you can imagine. Introducing the I Can Get To Silent Salesman mobile marketing app, a global mobile marketing and communication tool for your business. Go to appsapart.com and learn how you could earn up to $36,351 or more per month just by inviting two people or less into a $14.95 per month program. Go to appsapart.com and be sure to watch the video at the top of the site and listen to the audio message from the CEO near the bottom. This is something you won't want to miss. Go to appsapart.com now or call 646-860-9540. That's 646-860-9540. Get the I Can Get To. That's ICANGET, the number 2, Silent Salesman app at appsapart.com. That's appsapart.com.
You've probably heard about all the great benefits of goat milk soap, but did you know some companies take shortcuts? At Old New England Soap, we make our organic goat's milk soap using 36% goat's milk. That's 17% more than most others. Our bars are larger, so they last longer, producing lots of lather packed with vitamins. And our soap is a natural moisturizer that smooths dry and damaged skin. Order online at oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. You've tried the rest. Now try the best. Oldnesoap.com.
Water-based soaps on supermarket shelves use harsh chemical acids to break down dead skin cells. And that's just not good for you. At Old New England Soap, our soaps are made without chemical ingredients, contain no alcohol or petroleum products, and use 85% organic materials and carry the USDA's organic certification. Try some today. Go to oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. Oldnesoap.com.
All right, welcome back. It's the final segment here on Blacklisted News. Robert Perry, writing for Consortium News, a great investigative journalist who broke open the Iran-Contra scandal in the 1980s, writes, often, and there was a new release of previously classified documents from the Reagan Library about the CIA propaganda chief Walter Raymond Jr. and how they created, with the CIA's help, the National Endowment for Democracy, NED, in 1982. And it's very interesting because, I mean, other than training political activists, opposition activists, organizing, creating up all these nice sounding groups like the one in focus here, the Asia Foundation. Just Google that. Political action, which is one of these terms that quite literally means psychological covert operations to destabilize governments. So, you know, when you hear all the talk about the Russians, oh my goodness, they need to register. The Russians are coming for you. They're always there. They're just as bad. The U.S. government does the exact same thing. It would only be silly to think that the Russians aren't. Now, the Russians aren't probably as effective here in the U.S. as they are in other places that are more isolated. Now, with the internet, it's harder to consolidate that information. But you see that people like George Soros, big players in global affairs, are very, very influential and powerful. And, of course, that's why you have to take everything that you hear on the television and just about from every group that's organizing out there with a huge grain of salt. It's when I see these people out there that have, you know, professionally made signs and they're going after Robert E. Lee, I always think, you know, what's really behind this? These groups that go to places like Missouri where we're having second night of racial tension. I wouldn't even say it's racial tension, just pissed off people that want, you know, cop accountability for what they see as senseless murders by police that are targeting them. Whether or not that's true, or whether or not how accurate that, you know, however accurate that may be, it doesn't really matter because that's what people think. And that's one of the things that's so undervalued in the power to influence and to enrage that you see play out here. So beyond Star Wars, a lot of the secret projects that went under the Reagan administration, I mean, he was very, very involved in covert psychological operations, especially during, you know, the Cold War and the final blows of the Soviet, or, you know, the Soviet Union falling there. But throughout Eastern Europe, throughout South America, I mean, we can go back through history. But I think it's interesting because people regard Ronald Reagan so much, especially Republicans. And I'm sure some of you listening probably regard him as one of the greatest presidents as well. It's not that, you know, I hate Ronald Reagan. I think that people look fondly on the good times, you know. The 80s seemed like a great time. You know, every beach 80s movie ended with, you know, the guy getting the girl, driving off in a brand new BMW and partying the night away with a, you know, a token ethnic person in the background. It was great. And so, you know, there's some nostalgia there, I think, that people have for Ronald Reagan. But anyway, there you go. Go to blacklistednews.com. Plenty of commentary, plenty of analysis that you can chew on. We'll be back next week with another live edition of Blacklisted Radio. Until then, take care.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds, up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield Tactical Bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magful clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AirOutfitting.com.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network.